Blog Talk Radio.
Today is April 15th, 2013, and this is Foxology. I'm Silver Ray Fox, your host. And you know what else today is? Today is tax day deadline. Yes, it is. Well, I filed weeks ago, so no drama for me. But if you didn't, well, I know you are scurrying today. But if it has to be late, just let the IRS know. I've learned that if you're nice to the IRS, they will be nice to you. Yeah, it's true. I once had a pretty large debt to them, but I kept in touch, and I eventually paid it off and found out that all they want is cooperation. And if you cooperate and make some kind of arrangements, they will cooperate with you. But if you try to dodge them, well, they don't like that. So call, write, state your case, and in a lot of cases, they will help you out. I know this, and I can assure you of that. And that's my two cents and my good sense on that subject. Other than that, how's your day going? Excellent, I hope. I hope you're choosing excellent thoughts today, thoughts that empower you to be excellent. Have you told yourself how excellent you are today? Well, you are. You are excellent. You are an excellent example of potential, power, and promise. And you know what else? You can do just about anything you put your mind to do. Yes, you can. So choose excellent thoughts and choose excellent stuff to do. It's just that simple. Speaking of choosing excellent things, my guest today took a horrifying and dire life situation and turned her life into one filled with purpose and hope for others as well. She's going to share her incredible story of triumph with us. She is a speaker and an author. Her book is entitled Ugly, The Story of a Bullied Girl. And I'm so happy to have Kate McHugh with me today on the Foxology stage. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You are so, so welcome. I'm excited, of course, to be talking about this and your story. And oh, boy, do you ever have one. You know, I looked around the Internet a little bit, not that I really had to, but I've heard numerous stories, as we all have, when things happen as a result of bullying, some of the worst-case scenarios where kids cannot deal with the horrible pain they feel inside and have gone as far to commit suicide. Those stories certainly loom large in the news, but statistics say that about 32% of students are bullied, and about 1 out of 10 drop out of school because of bullying. And, no, that's really horrible when you think about it. Of all the nonsensical reasons anything should be happening, it's really awful. So I'm glad that we're going to be talking about this. You are someone who has been a victim of bullying, and you're going to be able to provide some great insight for us, what it's really like to live that, and how to overcome it, and it's extraordinary what you're doing to help others overcome it as well. I also, Kate, didn't share with you, but I was bullied as a kid. I was a smaller kid, too. And it's very interesting because as I reflect back on it, it's interesting to me that another child at such an early age of 5, 6, 7, all the way up to junior high for me, and several other kids, she was the one that was always picking fights daily and had us all, you know, knees knocking about coming to school each day. So I don't know that I experienced it at all to the extent you did, but I certainly can relate. So let's get started talking about you. Tell us where you grew up, where you went to school.
I grew up in a small town on the Jersey Shore, about 5 minutes from the beach. So in summertime, I went to the beach and enjoyed all that comes with that kind of lifestyle. And I went to Southern Regional Middle School and Southern Regional High School.
Okay. And so you lived in a neighborhood then that most of us would kind of call a storybook kind of backdrop. There probably wasn't a lot going on in your school system that was getting in the news.
No, you know, I had a very, very wonderful upbringing, a happy childhood, and, you know, no crime, you know, basically small town America, but by the beach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sure it had to be a shock to you then when you found yourself in this predicament. Why don't you tell us how old you were and where you were, what grade you were in school, and how all of that got started?
The bullying started when I got to seventh grade. The middle school was a group of schools that came together because it was a regional school. So everyone was just kind of jockeying for, you know, who's going to be popular, who's in what group. And I guess I just kind of got lost in that shuffle that I really didn't fit in with any group in particular. I had very good grades. I was gifted, and I was in the gifted program in elementary school. So when I got to middle school, I had the expectation of, well, everyone's going to want to be my friend, and I'm going to be really popular. And I couldn't have been more wrong on both of those accounts.
So you found that you were more isolated as a child in middle school? Was it by choice? Did you find that you just made that choice after you saw that you didn't find yourself in the category of being the most popular?
No, I desperately wanted to fit in, and I tried to keep up on the trends and what kids were wearing. And, you know, I would go home and say, Mom, I need these special sneakers. And my parents, you know, said, you know, we're not buying you $150 sneakers. You know, the sneakers we bought you 2 weeks ago to start school is fine. So I wanted desperately to fit in, and I really just had a tough time doing that.
I want to ask a question about what you just said. Excuse me. When you think of trying to blend in by buying a pair of sneakers, Kate, let me ask you, did anybody at that point tease you about your sneakers, or you just thought in your own mind, this will make me more acceptable and more like them?
In my own mind, I thought if I could have the clothes that they're wearing and the shoes that they have on, if I can do my makeup the way those girls do it, then they'll want to be my friend. Then they'll let me sit at their lunch table and bring me into their clique. And I just could never meet those expectations. And then, so I guess they didn't accept me for that.
Kate, were they your expectations or were they their expectations?
You know, it's hard to say. I think part of it was my own expectations. But when I look at those girls, they all had the same sneakers on, the same Hollister hoodies, the same American Eagle jeans. And that was kind of an expectation for them to belong to that group, was to dress and have the things that they had.
Was this a public school or a private school?
It was a public school.
It was a public school. With about how many students?
When I graduated, my graduating class was almost 900.
Okay, so there were a lot of kids then.
Yeah, it was a big school.
Isn't it funny, I bet, when you look back and you think about what we're talking about, that you singled out this certain clique and decided that you needed to identify with them out of all of the people who were actually attending school?
Yeah, you know, it's funny now that I'm out of school and out of college, when I run into people I went to high school with, and they said, you know, I heard, you know, all this bullying stuff you're doing. I really wish we could have been friends during those years. I think we really could have gotten along. And I think about those friendships from elementary school that I dropped when I got to middle school, it just kind of, you know, dissolved because of, you know, how big the school was, and it just kind of got absorbed into that middle school and high school culture and really didn't connect with people that I probably should have connected with.
Mm-hmm. When you look back, Kate, do you see that clearly there were issues of a lack of self-esteem, and how would you describe it?
I think I had good self-esteem in elementary school. I had very loving and supporting parents. My mom is a social worker. My dad was a psychotherapist. So the messages I was given as a child were that you are smart and you're beautiful and you're worthy and you can do anything you set your mind to, and you know, you deserve respect. And when I got to middle school, the messages I was getting from my peers didn't match the messages I was getting at home. My peers were saying, you're not welcome here. You don't belong with us. We don't like you. And it was really hard to reconcile why those messages at school and at home were so different for me. And I really put a lot of stock into what my peers said rather than what my parents said. And I think that really caused a great plunge in my self-esteem.
Yes, that's exactly what I was asking you, if you would explain. And when you look at that, Kate, because I did understand that you did. I figured as much that you had a very loving and supportive family and a practical thinking environment. So what do you think happened to you when you went to junior high and you decided that I really am not enough? What do you think happened when you look back? I know at that point all you felt was, as you said, a real desperation. You singled out the girls you felt were the most wonderful girls at school because they were so popular and so well-liked. Was it because you felt like you wanted to be so much more and so much more received that's where the gap came in what your parents had taught you and now what you were thinking about for yourself? Was it that gap? Was that the desperation you talked about? All of a sudden, you had said earlier that you wanted, you know, you had had things a certain way and you wanted to have that same popularity. And you said it was a desperation to you. That's what you felt.
I think I felt some confusion, you know, because my parents, you know, I'd always had playmates and sleepovers and, you know, huge groups of friends. And when I got to middle school, that wasn't the case. The girls that I was trying to befriend didn't like me, and they made it very clear that they didn't like me, and they wanted to embarrass me and, you know, humiliate me in front of other people, and I just so desperately still wanted them to like me. I think I was just confused as to, you know, my parents just kind of brought me up with this, well, everyone likes you. You're such a likable person. You're such a wonderful person, Kate. And then, you know, get to school, and not everyone's on board with you're a likable person, you're a wonderful person, Kate. So I think that was, I just was confused, and I kept seeking out that their friendship because I needed to reconcile that. I needed to make sense of, well, why don't you like me? Well, what is wrong with me? You know, I didn't, because it was just, I wasn't getting that from my parents, obviously.
Let's talk about when and how the bullying started. What did these peers of yours begin to do to you that you can now label it bullying?
You know, it was the first week of seventh grade, and there was this group of popular girls, and the ringleader was this girl, Megan. This isn't her real name. I changed her name. Megan says, to me at lunch one day, I'm talking about this boy, Todd, that I had known in kindergarten, and when I moved from that school, you know, we all ended up back together at middle school, and I'm talking about Todd and how cute Todd is and how, you know, I would really like to talk to him again. And Megan overhears me talking about Todd, and she says to me a couple days later, you know, I heard that you like Todd. And I said, oh, my gosh, yeah, I really like him. He's so cute. And she said, you know, that's so funny because I'm friends with him, and he told me that he likes you too. And I was shocked. I was so excited. And she said, you know, let's go after fourth period. And, you know, I think you should ask him out. Like, he's waiting for you to ask him out. So I have in my mind that Todd likes me and he's waiting for me to ask him out. And middle school is going to be wonderful. I'm going to have all these friends and a boyfriend. And this is exactly what middle school should look like. So we get to We get to the hall, we find Todd, and he's talking to a group of his friends at his locker. You know, and I tap him on the shoulder, and I say, "Hey, Todd, you know, it's Kate McHugh, like, how are you?" And he's looking at me, can't really register who I am. And so then I proceed to say, would you want to go to the movies with me? I mean, I know that you like me too. And he just started laughing. And Megan had this group with her, and they were all laughing. It was, Megan had set it up on purpose. She knew that Todd didn't like me. He had no idea who I was. And she gathered an audience to watch me embarrass myself. And so when I realized all this was happening, I was mortified. I started crying. And I went to class, and Megan is talking to a group of people. And she's saying, it's so funny because Kate actually thought Todd liked her. I mean, she's disgusting. Did she really think Todd would go out with her? And I was shocked. This is my first introduction into the world of Mean Girls. And from then on, it was just constant humiliation. And if I was giving a presentation in front of the class, Megan would start whispering to the person next to her and pointing at me. And, I would be sitting at the lunch table and she would come over and dump her Snapple all over my tray. Just things that were mean, just mean girl things. And it was constant.
Would you tell us about Megan? Not just about what she did. Of course, we gather a little about her personality and her behavior from what you're saying. Was she a good student? Was she in other activities at school? I want to see if we can make some determination on why she decided to pick on you. Go ahead.
Yeah, she was. She got good grades. We were both in the advanced track for our classes. She was well-liked by teachers. She held a leadership position. She was on the soccer team. I mean, she's on paper, she wasn't a quote-unquote bad girl. She was your typical, all-American, popular girl.
And so it sounds like, do you think back now that perhaps when you came into the school then, sounds like you both were star figures there, that you came in and had a sterling background and family life and got into this program, that maybe she just decided she didn't like you off the bat, that maybe you were some kind of competition to her?
I feel like I'll never know what her motives are. She's tried to get in touch with me since, and I just am not really ready to open that door because I don't really know if I'm ready to hear what her reasoning was, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. She's actually reached out to, did she say why, to apologize, to make amends?
No, she friended me on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of let it sit there, and I don't know what her reasoning is. I'm just not really ready to open that door with her, to be honest. Like, I forgive her, but I don't know that I'm ready to talk about that with her just yet.
Well, did the bullying abuse continue through junior high?
Yeah, it lasted. In junior high, it was a lot of exclusion and embarrassing me and just mean girl stuff. And when it really got bad when I got to high school. It lasted till I graduated high school.
And so she and all of you went on to the same high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all went on to the same high school, and another school was added. Another middle school came to the high school we went to, so it grew even bigger.
Okay. So this went on then for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just Megan. There were other girls in different cliques, same prototype as Megan, pretty, popular, well-liked by teachers. And they bullied me, too. It wasn't just Megan when I got to high school.
Kate, why do you think they picked on you?
I think I was just an easy target, especially after 2 years in middle school of constantly being berated by Megan and embarrassed by her and hurt by her, that I just had lost all sense of self. I stopped caring about myself. I just felt like this shadow of a person, and I think I just was an easy target for those girls.
Did your parents learn of this? Did you ever share with them what was going on?
I never shared with my parents what was going on. They really didn't even know the full extent until last year when I was 23.
Why did you wait to inform them about it, Kate?
You know, there are a couple of reasons. You know, the messages I received from them as a child, I applied to the bullying situation. I felt like, you know, I'm independent and I'm smart and I can handle this. I can take care of this. And looking back, I really didn't have the emotional maturity or the emotional capacity to handle that situation. And I didn't seek out help because of that. And I was embarrassed about what was going on. I didn't want my mom to know and my dad to know that there were rumors going around school about me or that I was faking sick again because I knew I was going to get beat up. I was afraid of, you know, they were going to take my technology away. If they found out what was being said about me online, that they would take the computer out of my room and take my cell phone. And I didn't want that to happen. And I was afraid that they would come to the school and make things worse. I learned that when I told the administrators about the bullying, it just made things worse because the girls, you know, they get called down to the office and they would deny it. And the administrators would say, you know, we knew you wouldn't do that, Megan. We knew you weren't involved, Jenna. And then those girls would corner me after school and you'd say, now you're really going to get it. You know, don't ever tell me again. Watch your back. So I learned that, you know, if I told my parents, they were just going to make things 1,000 times worse.
Did your parents, let me ask this first, did any of your activities or your grades suffer as a result of this?
You know, thankfully, my grades didn't suffer, but it was really hard to concentrate at school. I was always hyper-vigilant of my surroundings. But every new marking period when our classes would switch, I would make sure that I got to class early, and then I would watch as, you know, each kid came in the door and said, okay, if Ashley sits by the door, I'm going to want to sit in the farthest corner from her. And I had to strategically place my seat around which mean girl was in my class. And even then, it didn't really matter. They would write notes, you know, and say, you know, Kate McHugh was disgusting, pass it on. And they would pass it open across my desk. And if I didn't pass it, they would, you know, punch me or push me or kick me until I passed the note to the person next to me. So it really was really hard to concentrate on what the teacher was saying when I was worried about, you know, am I going to get punched? Where's this girl sitting? Is something going to happen again? So I can, you know, it's really anxiety producing to sit in a classroom and not, you know, and keep my grades up.
Is this something that occurred daily?
It was constant, every single day. You know, I lived in constant fear Monday through Friday from the bus stop in the morning to my front door in the afternoon. And when I got home, it was cyberbullying. It never ended. It was weekends, vacation, family time, dinner time, homework time. It was just bullying all the time.
Kate, you had to have been a pretty good actress too. And I'd say that, of course, jokingly, because to go through that every day and then come home and be with your family and to pull it off that you're doing all right had to be quite a feat.
It was exhausting. You know, I just really could. I wasn't sure who I was because when I was home, I was pretending that things were fine, that school was okay, and I had lots of friends, and, you know, I didn't have anything going on. And then, but at school, it was a very different story. And it was just trying to keep up the facade of I'm okay. This isn't bothering me. It was just exhausting.
Kate, did you have any friends that did come to your place or that you hung out with? Because certainly your parents would have had to have some idea that things weren't going right if nobody was around you for 4 or 6 years.
You know, I had friends, but looking back, they really weren't my friends. And, you know, if I was being bullied on the bus, this one girl was my very good friend in high school. We don't speak anymore. But she was more concerned with not getting picked on and being considered cool to stand up and speak out for me. Or if I was being bullied at lunch, the girls that I would sit with would get up and throw their trash out. And I just, you know, I clung on to that group of girls because I felt like at least it was someone. But looking back, they really weren't friends to me. They didn't help me. They didn't support me. They didn't, you know, go to the guidance counselor with me and talk about what was going on.
Did anyone at school ever try to come to your defense? Any of the other kids?
You know, there was one time, and it was actually online, this girl who was one of Megan's friends in eighth grade, she sent me a message online. She said, I want you to come sit with us tomorrow. And at first I thought, you know, this is a joke. She's going to set me up. Something's, you know, Megan's having her do this for her own amusement. So the next day I see her and she says, you know, are you going to come sit with us today? And she was genuine about it. And I said, you know, yeah, I'll come sit with you. So I went and sat at the table, and Megan and a couple other friends were saying, you know, you can't sit here. You know, get up. We hate you. And this girl stood up to me. She said, I invited her. I want her to sit with us today. And I know I kind of had forgotten about that incident until recently, and I reached out to this girl on Facebook, and I said, I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, I just want to say thank you, and I really appreciate what you did for me that day. And she wrote back, and she said, you know, to be honest, I really don't remember that, but I do remember how badly people treated you, and it really didn't sit right with me, and that's why I reached out to you that day. But that was the only time that anyone ever helped me.
I know there have been numerous things that they did, and some of it just sounds like, or most of it was just picking on you daily and being annoying and demeaning toward you. What can you share with us, any of the more horrible things that these girls did to you? Are you okay with sharing it?
Yeah, I would receive messages all the time on the computer from girls telling me just to kill myself, and that no one cared if I came to school the next day, and that everyone hated me. And, you know, I never had those thoughts until I started getting those messages. And when you're 15 and your classmates are telling you that everyone hates you and that no one cares if you come to school the next day and that you should just kill yourself, you start to have thoughts that maybe I should just kill myself. Maybe if I kill myself tonight, I won't have to go to school tomorrow, and that would be the best reprieve in the world.
Well, and there's no maybe to that. If you kill yourself, you're definitely not going to school the next day. Oh, my gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah, you know, I remember, I never tried to kill myself, but I remember thinking about it a lot. It just kind of seemed, I had this tunnel vision of, this is never going to end, and this is, everyone hates me, and I have no one, and if I kill myself, then this will all go away. It won't hurt anymore. I won't feel bad about myself anymore. I won't feel disgusting anymore. I'll be free from all this torment. And it just seems like the only option to make the bullying stop.
What kind of things did you consider doing?
Oh, I thought about taking pills. I thought about cutting my wrist. I thought about hanging myself. Like, I fantasized about how good it was going to feel to not have to go to school anymore. That was the thing that just kept me thinking about it, was just this release that there would be no more pain, no more school, no more mean girls. But the thing that kept me really from ever trying was my parents. I just knew that I could never, ever hurt them that way, and I just knew it would just completely destroy them. And that really is the only thing that kept me from crossing that line.
Can you tell us about the moment where you were at the possibility of doing something and then the light came on? Where were you? And obviously you were out of school when you finally found the relief you needed. So tell us about that and how you began your journey of purpose that you're doing now.
You know, when I graduated, you know, I went to a school that was 8 hours away and went to college. And when I got to college, it was just so different. People were just so accepting of me, and they were inviting me out places, and they suggested I run for student government. And it was really confusing because, again, those messages weren't matching up with the messages I had about myself and what my peers told me from middle school and high school. So I really used that time to work on my self-esteem, and I really just decided. I woke up one morning, I said, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to see myself as disgusting and ugly and worthless. That's not what God and my parents want for me, or do I want for myself? And so I began to put these messages back into my head. I changed them. I said, I'm no longer going to see myself as ugly and disgusting and worthless. I'm beautiful and I'm smart and I'm worthy and my life is worth living, and I'm going to do something great with this life that I've been given. And I really took all that trauma and that pain and I channeled it into something good, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
So you decided to go to college, which I'm sure was an early decision in life, that you were going to do that. You transitioned out of high school. Going into the college environment, were you afraid that you were about to face the same thing?
I was. I really didn't know what to expect. I had all these messages in my head and these preconceived notions that girls, and especially groups of girls, are mean and they're vicious and they're just out to hurt you. And so I was, living on a floor with 40 other girls, and I was, walking to the bathroom thinking, okay, are they going to come out of their rooms like an angry gang and hit me? Are they going to? And they came out of their rooms and said, oh, I really like that, Marilyn Monroe poster you got hanging. I was like, oh, thanks. And then they said, do you want to come in and hang out? I'm about to make some popcorn. And I really realized that, girls are they're not all mean. They're not all bad. And I really formed friendships there that I still have. These friendships I formed in college were so wonderful and healing for me, and that I still have, great connections with those people.
I'm so glad it worked out that way, Kate. You are still a very young woman. You are about to get your master's degree. That's wonderful. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I want to know, once you got into college and you started getting the real messages about yourself from people who could see the person that you really are and started affirming that for you, how long was it before you started feeling like the person that your parents had brought up? And what was the first step that you made in the direction of trying to help other people stand up against bullying or at least overcome it?
To be honest, I feel like I really didn't fully heal until this past year. Even when people would invite me out places or give me a compliment, I always felt like there was a catch. If they're inviting me to a party, am I going to get there and it's going to be an empty lot? Is there going to be no one there? Or if someone says, oh, come check out this club, is it really a club? Or is this just something that they're doing to hurt me? Or if someone said, oh, I really like your shirt, or oh, you're so pretty, I was sure it was just a joke. They were just saying it to be mean. And it really took me a long time to build that trust back up and accept compliments and accept invitations. And it really wasn't until this past year that I fully healed that wound. And I started speaking in August 2011, and that's when I started helping out and speaking out against bullying.
Well, based on the traumatic effect of all of it, I imagine that there is still some areas in your heart that need to still reconcile in some ways. I could hear as you explain the story, the first thing that happened to you, that you got a little choked up sharing that story, and so did I, because I have problems understanding meanness also in people.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a it's just baffling to know what they really get out of being so awful toward other people. They really seem to enjoy it. But I'm glad that you feel that, you have come a long way in restoring yourself and believing in yourself and doing that for others as well. So you wrote your book. Tell us about that.
I wrote a book. It's written for 7th to 12th graders. That's the age group. And it details my experiences being bullied. Each chapter is a different story. And it covers you know, the cyberbullying, the rumors, the exclusion, the humiliation, and talks about how I felt. And but it uses a little bit of humor, too, and it really kind of sheds some light on the thought process of the victim. And I reach out to kids at the end, and I say, you know, if you're being bullied, you're not alone. You don't deserve this. You need to reach out and get help. And I provide some resources as well. I speak to those that are bullying other people, and I say, you know, it's not funny. It's not right. It's not cool. What you say to someone today could have a lasting effect on the rest of their lives. And I reach out to the bystanders, you know, the kids who aren't being bullied but see it happening, and I encourage them to no longer be bystanders but be upstanders. Help that person out, you know, lend a helping hand. Talk to a teacher about something you see in the hallway if you're not comfortable confronting a situation head on, because that's really the key. Those kids who aren't being bullied, they're, you know, a force that can really stop this epidemic.
Okay, what would you say to young people or even older ones? Bullying isn't just a youth violation that happens to young people. But what would you say to young people who face the same fears that you did, not just of their bullies, but fears of saying anything to their parents? Certainly, I know you would never want to see anybody go through years and years of what you suffered. So what could you say? What would you say to them, knowing that it may have been a better idea? Of course, it would have been a better idea to say something to your parents, that even the what seemed like would have been maybe negative intervention could have possibly put an end to it. What would you say to young people to do?
You know, I understand how hard it is to say something. It may feel like this impossible, daunting task. But I promise that by saying something, it's going to lift a huge weight off of your shoulders. And you deserve respect and dignity. And you're letting people take that away from you, and it's not fair. And no one should ever have to feel the way you're feeling right now. And the only way to stop feeling that way is to reach out and get help. Suicide isn't the answer. Hurting yourself isn't the answer. And hurting other people isn't the answer. As much as I know that feels like the only answer in the world. You know, you just reach out and get help. Talk to your teachers. Talk to a coach. If you can't talk to the principal, find maybe it's a youth pastor, somebody you know in the community. Reach out to anyone that you feel comfortable talking to. If you don't get the answer you're looking for, if they don't believe you or they tell you it's not a big deal or tell you just to face it, keep talking. Keep reaching out until you find someone that believes you and helps you. You don't deserve to be treated this way. No one does.
I know that bullying is not considered officially a crime, although it should be. Do you encourage people to seek out help from the law?
Definitely. Every child has the right to a safe education. And if your child doesn't feel safe going to school or riding the bus, or staying after school for activities for fear of being hurt, you need to reach out to the school. If the school doesn't give you what you're looking for, if they minimize the situation or tell you that, you know, your child just needs to stick it up and stick it out and deal with it, then I definitely recommend a parent seeking legal help. If your child is being cyberbullied, take screenshots and keep evidence of all the incidents. If your child is being physically assaulted, take pictures of the bruises, write down the children's names who've been involved. Keep track of all of that and bring that with you, because that really amps up your evidence. It tells them, you know, it shows they have somewhere to go with that.
Kay, can you tell us when Facebooking or other social platforms turns from just you know, escalated conversations to what you call cyberbullying?
Cyberbullying, it's anything that makes, you know, if it's making fun of your child or making fun of someone else on social media, humiliating them, you know, making a fake profile in their name, releasing information, you know, spreading rumors, anything that your child isn't comfortable with, I would consider to be cyberbullying. And it's a tough line because, you know, kids joke around and they say things back and forth. But once it crosses that line, it's time to take action.
What is the line? Are you saying the line is a line where now it's gone into creating harassment and embarrassment? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because just like you said, a lot of kids are kidding around, but they know it's condescending. So when do you call it cyberbullying? Is it because it becomes consistent, or, and I'm asking for your definition or explanation.
No, it can be consistent.
Because kids do that all the time. So where does it look like cyberbullying to you?
You know, it can be consistent, or it can be a one-time incident. If a child makes a fake Facebook profile and puts your child's photo up and starts posting statuses saying, I love drugs and I'm on, you know, going out every weekend, that's cyberbullying. But it can be a consistent, you know, tweeting the person over and over and over again, saying harassing or mean things. It really is, it's murky waters, to be completely honest. But you just need to use your best judgment. If it looks like cyberbullying, it's cyberbullying. If you're not comfortable or your child isn't comfortable with what's being said about them on the internet or to them on the internet, then it's cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like you have been very successful at taking a very hard situation and turning it around for the good. I admire your strength and your courage to do that, and certainly know that you must have some enormous plans ahead as you embark on this journey of helping people. Your new book, Ugly, The Story of a Bullied Girl, and now you are speaking all around the country. What more is in store? What are you hoping to do?
I've applied to a couple of PhD programs. Actually, I'm just kind of waiting to hear back. So that will hopefully start in the fall. I'd really like to focus on my dissertation on bullying. And I'm really hoping that I just want to continue to speak and reach out and, you know, hopefully do some counseling with kids that are being bullied and help them to, you know, give them some coping skills, work on their social skills, and help them to understand that they don't need to deal with this anymore, but kind of be a person for them to reach out to if they need to. So hopefully doing some of that in the near future.
When you're in your environments where you're speaking to people, do you have a lot of people come and tell you afterward that they are victims of bullying?
In any given assembly of middle school students, high school students, even adults, I've spoken to schools just for teachers or just for law enforcement. Without fail, at least 5 to 10 people wait afterwards to talk to me in every single period. And, you know, it shocks me every time how many times I meet kids who come up to me afterwards and tell me, you know, I've been thinking about killing myself. This has been happening to me. And after hearing you speak, I realized that I don't want to feel this way anymore. How can you help me? You know, and I spend a couple minutes talking with them, and then I immediately hook them up with someone in the school right away before I leave and make sure that they feel comfortable talking with, you know, their guidance counselor or the school social worker, depending on who it is. And I offer, you know, I'll sit in with you if you need me to come sit in with you and you know, tell your story to the school personnel. So I think by being so young, I'm really relatable to students, and they feel comfortable sharing with me what's going on. And I kind of just bridge that gap by hooking them up with a school resource that can provide ongoing counseling for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you are delivering your presentations, how do you structure it? Do you begin by telling your story, and do you do a step by step of things to look for and how to deal with it?
My story is pretty much structured the same way depending on middle school and high school. Some of the language is different depending on the age group. But I just tell them my story, and it pretty closely follows the book. And I speak for about half an hour, and then I kind of follow up with, you know, I reach out to the kids that are being bullied, those that are bullying others, and the bystanders. And then I do question and answer with the students.
You've mentioned something I'd like for you to reflect on before we wrap up our conversation. What do you say to bullies?
And I say to them, what you're doing, it's not funny. It's not right. it's not cool. Telling someone to go home and kill themselves could really make someone go home and kill themselves. And this is a really serious issue. It's not okay to treat people the way you've been treating people. And I hope that by hearing my story and seeing your classmates crying in the seat next to you, I hope that touched you. I hope you realized that what you're doing is having a very negative impact on yourself and the people around you. And I hope you decide to make a positive change today. And if you need help making a positive change, come talk to me. We'll talk about it. I'll help you. I don't want you to feel that way anymore.
Has anyone that's a bully ever stayed behind to talk with you about it?
A few times I've had a couple girls come up to me and they have this look of shame on their face. And they say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've been doing. And a couple of them cry and they say, I don't want to do this anymore. Hearing you speak made me realize how much I'm hurting other people, and I'm hurting and I need help. What can I do? So we talk about it, and I do the same thing I would do for a kid that's being bullied. I hook them up with a school social worker or their guidance counselor, and I make sure that these kids are getting the help they need so they don't grow up to become angry, hateful adults.
Mm-hmm. I know that in my particular case, Kate, the person that bullied me and some others for so many years, she grew up and it was determined that she had some pretty serious psychological disorders that she carried into adulthood, and unfortunately she didn't live a very long life as a result. But when you say that some of these young ladies say to you that they're hurting, I think, you know, I don't like being so unfair on presenting anything, and I think it's important to say that an individual who may always want to make someone else the target of something like that truly may have some very uncomfortable, very traumatic experiences of their own that causes them to act out the way that they do. And, you know, everybody's got a face, but they've also got a backdrop and a life, and you never know what they are experiencing. And oftentimes you find out that people are bullying you are being bullied at home, perhaps, or by someone mm-hmm. else in another environment. So, unfortunately, it's a much bigger picture. But, again, it's an amazing and wonderful thing that you are doing. I'm glad that you were able to clearly define yourself, find yourself in all of that. It really is commendable, and I wish you so much success as you go forward trying to empower others with what you have learned. Let's tell people, Kate, where they can get your book.
Sure. You can get my book on my website, which is www.katemachugh.com, and it's KateMachugh.com. And all the information about me, if you would like to have me come speak to your school or your PTA organization, that's all on the website, as well as the information for the book.
Those links that are within your website are which stores again? Can you mention those for the book?
Sure. It's an ebook, so you can get it on your Amazon Kindle, your Barnes & Noble Nook, or through iTunes in the iTunes store.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, so that's www.katemachugh.com, where you can find all the information that you need about Kate and check on her availability to come and speak to your group or organization. And Kate, I'm so glad that you took time out of your day to chat with me. This has been very informative. I appreciate you being so open and so candid about what you have been through, and I know that I've gotten some additional insight that I had hoped to get, and I'm sure others will learn from it as well. Keep up the great work that you're doing, and I'll check in with you again perhaps within the next month to see what you are up to. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And, of course, I want to thank all of you listeners for taking time out of your day to check out today's episode of Foxology. How interesting is that? it's a very unfortunate thing that there is so much youth violence and so much of it is caused by bullying. If you would like some additional information, again, check out Kate at www.katemchugh.com. That's KateMchugh.com. And also, there's a very elaborate portion of information at the National Crime Prevention Council website. That's ncpc.org, ncpc.org, National Crime Prevention Council website. Lots, tons of information there that can help you out if you need some additional insights. I hope you all have a terrific day. Tell your friends about Boxology. I am here every week with some show that's going to make you smarter, make you wiser, for sure. I can guarantee it. Until I talk to you next time, make the rest of the day the best of your day. I'll talk to you again real soon.